421. 421. Good evening, everybody. I'm glad that you all decided to come this evening to study another portion of God's will. And our first song selection tonight is 421, Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, I say, am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling, in his breast and presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul this song, faithful loving service to him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves, he will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey, he your savior wants to be, he saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Let's turn now to 251. 251. And after this song, Clayton, could you lead us in a word of prayer after this song? How long has it been is the title.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and you told him your heart hidden secret? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How the Lord up in heaven. How long since you knew that he answered you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you walked with the dog and felt that the days were the living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
Let us pray. This evening, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you just thanking you for the blessing of this day, allowing us to go about our work day and return here this evening to study another part of your word. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those, Lord, that are mentioned on your prayer list. Lord, we're just praying, Lord, if it be your will, just go by, touch them, heal them where they need healing, build them up where they're torn down, and strengthen them where they're weak. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those just around the world as just in the storms, the floods, and different avenues of disasters around the world. Lord, just praying, Lord, that they can just find the food, shelter, and clothing that they need, that they may continue on with their lives. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for our leaders of our country. Lord, just praying, Lord, that they are ruling in such a way that we can always have that free will to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. Again, Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those ones that lost loved ones throughout these past times. Lord, we're just praying, Lord, that if it be your will, go by, touch them, heal them where they're hurting, and build them up where they're torn down, strengthen them where they're weak. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray that you be with Brother Doug as he brings us a lesson. Lord, praying that we'll get our due portion, Lord. Again, Father, Lord, just want to thank you for your son. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the Holy Spirit that he might continue to constrain us and guide us into all truths. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to mark 551, Rescue Perishing. That will be our song after our classes tonight. Before we go to class, let's turn.
What number, 51?
51, 551.
Thank you.
Before class, 544, Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood to proclaim, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, his child forever I am. Redeemed is so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me does continually dwell. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the kingdom's body light, whose lovingly God is my footsteps and given song in the night. Redeemed, his child forever I am. We'll be past two classes.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
We are in 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 14. In the next few verses of this chapter, he begins to go, we know we've been talking about the second coming and so on, but he's switching gears with us here, and he begins to turn to what I would call practical Christian living. And it's giving us instructions on how we can work well together with each other. In verse 14, he says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Well, we urge you, brethren, to admonish the unruly. Okay, if you're unruly, raise your hand. No unruly? Okay, that's good. Glad to hear it. But you see, one of the things that as we look at these things that he's talking about, look at the last thing that he says in this verse. Be patient with everyone. So, we are all at really different places in our life as far as our lives, our Christian walk. And you're probably at places spiritually that I'm not, and I'm at some places that some others are not, maybe. But we all need the Lord. We all need the encouragement of each other. And as he talks about here, there's times I imagine we all need to be admonished, to be encouraged, to stand up for our faith and to be right with God. And he says, then he goes on to say, and encourage the faint-hearted. Have you ever felt, maybe some other translations, what else might it say? What's faint-hearted in your translation?
Same thing.
Faint-hearted?
Yes.
So what does it mean to be faint-hearted?
Weak.
What?
Weak,
maybe, yeah.
Maybe those were discouraged.
Discouraged, yeah. Well, he says, what do you do with the faint-hearted? You encourage them, right?
Yes.
Maybe we should put it this way. Have you ever needed to be encouraged?
Absolutely.
I think, I imagine all of us have at some point in time in our life, maybe oftentimes in our life, right? There's times that we need encouragement, that things are not always easy, right? And so that we need that. And so what he's telling us in this verse, I think, is that, hey, let's look out for each other. We really need to look out for each other. And then he goes on to say, help the weak. You know, Georgia, you said about faint-hearted being weak, maybe. I think weak might be those that are weak in faith. There's times that sometimes people are questioning their faith, questioning their relationship with God. And we need to do what for the weak? Help them, right?
Yeah, the New King James says uphold their...
Uphold them. I like that. That's good. Like this mic, I'm going to uphold it if I do something else with it. It doesn't like staying tucked in behind my ear here. But we need... There's times that we are weak when things are just so hard sometimes, that we question our lives, we question our walk with God, and we need to be helped, encouraged, lifted up.
Doug, would you ask, would a new person in Christ be faint-hearted?
I'm sorry, what?
Would a new person in Christ be faint-hearted?
They could be. They don't know which way to go and how to walk this life and so on. That definitely could be so. James, go ahead.
In Galatians 6:2, Paul writes, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ."
Right. I think that's a good passage to go along with this. That, in this whole context that we're going to be reading here for the first part of this evening, is that that's what it's all about. Is that we need to be, encouraging one another, so building up one another in the faith and the strength of the Lord. And again, come back to the end there, be patient with everyone. we all need patience. There's times that we don't get it right. Sometimes we do get it right and others don't. But whatever it is, there's times that we need to be, people to be patient with us for whatever reason it might be. But be patient with everyone. So that means everyone needs patience, right? And so I think that's important. Any other thoughts on that verse as we look at this?
Does that include your dog?
My dog?
Because I'm sure not patient with mine sometimes.
Well, you need to repent then.
I'm telling him I'm sorry, but it might be the next day.
Don't let the sun go down on your anger.
But really, I'm angry when I'm not patient with him.
Uh-huh.
So that's not a good thing.
No.
Even if he is a dog.
That's right. You see, we in our life, we need these things, you know. And one time I was struggling with patience, and I told my wife that I was going to pray for patience so I'd be stronger. Well, I wish I had never prayed for patience, because God gave me a lot of reasons that really challenged my patience. I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm all sorry, God, I prayed for that. Because it really was a tough time, and patience would have helped a lot. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I think we can use it in any time. Well, he goes on then in verse 15. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. I think he's mainly talking to Christians here, isn't he? Does that mean that some Christians, sometimes we as Christians might do things that are not the best thing for our brothers or sisters in Christ? Because he says, when that happens to us, don't get back at them, right? Use that golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Don't pay back evil for evil, or pain for pain, or hurt for hurt. It doesn't help anything to do that.
That's where patience comes in.
That's right. Exactly. That's so well said. That's when patience comes in. When we feel offended or hurt, you know, sometimes. That's so true. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. That really cancels out. If someone's being not so good to you, what should you do? Look for a way which is good for them and for all people. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. There's the golden rule again in a verse besides, you know, Jesus saying it. Seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. And I think that's important, because as we go through life, not just Christians, but for all people. So when someone that's not a Christian treats you badly, you treat them good in order to treat them right. So treat them right.
In Romans 12, Paul references the proverb. He says there, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. And then before he said that, he said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. That's God. God's the one that's going to get justice ultimately.
Yeah.
And we seek that on our own sometimes, and we err when we do that.
Okay, yeah. So true.
You know, it seems like we were more patient with someone else than we is with our family.
Yes.
Someone closer to, like your wife or husband, kids, you more patient with somebody else than you are with your spouse.
Yeah.
Or kid, you know what I mean? Someone close to you.
Well, for a while I was a youth minister, and I was more patient with some of the kids, my other kids besides my own kids, you know, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really true. Okay, the next three verses are, to me, some of the most important verses, maybe in the Bible, because it summarizes things that we see at other places in Paul's writings. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read actually down a little bit more. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. But those first three verses, you know, we see these things stated in other places. Rejoice always. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In everything, pray without ceasing. That's a common theme throughout the Bible, isn't it? New Testament especially. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean to you? And to application, to apply it in your own life. Do you pray all the time? Is that what it means?
It don't mean consistently, you know, like turning the wheel, but it means in a consistency of throughout the day, things give thanks to God as they happen.
Stay in contact with God then all throughout the day, and feel free that you can talk to Him anytime, any place. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and you know, little things that happen, you say thank you. I learned to say thank you, Lord, that it wasn't no worse than what it was. Especially yeah. If I cut a limb and it kicks back,
uh-huh.
And it either barely hit me or knocked me down, but I didn't get hurt. So I just say, Lord, thank you, it wasn't no worse than what it was.
Well, that's definitely something to be thankful for. Yeah.
I learned to say thank you more than I used to.
Yeah. In everything, give thanks. We see that in Ephesians, where it talks about singing. In everything, give thanks. You know, everything in everything, give thanks when it's talking about singing, but not just in song. And we're told several places that, and again, back to Philippians chapter 4, in everything, give thanks chapter, he talks about that too. Let's just turn over there real quick. Philippians chapter 4, just about 6 through 8 or something like that. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 4, yeah. Let's start in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so this is the kind of thing that he's telling us to do, and it's something that Paul has repeated, that God has repeated and told us to do. And we know, again, that when the Bible repeats something to us, there's that emphasis there, right? This emphasis that we need to hear and to listen to. Back to First Thessalonians chapter 5. And there's something that he says here in the last part of verse 18. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So it's God's will that we rejoice always. It is God's will that we pray without ceasing. It's God's will that we give thanks in everything, right? And everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So would we consider that then a command of God or just a suggestion? Seems to command to me, because he's talking about that we do this without ceasing. I mean, that it is the will of God. If it's the will of God, he's saying, this is what God wants for us. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're just finishing up verse 18. Did I say 4?
Yes.
Thank you. I was in Philippians mindset. You guys have got to help me out sometimes. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 18. And then in verse 19, it says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, some translations say. What does the New King James say there?
Quench the Spirit.
Quench?
Yeah. Yes.
Do not quench the spirit. When you quench something, you're putting it out, right? You throw fire, water on a fire to quench it, right? But do not quench the spirit. If we're not doing these things, are we quenching the spirit?
What else could that mean?
I'm sorry, what?
What else could that mean? Do not quench the spirit.
Well, do not put out the spirit's fire. Do not do something that's going to keep God's spirit from working within us. Sin, I would think, would be something that would quench the spirit of God, right?
When you quench your thirst, you might take a drink, right?
That's right.
I'm not thirsty anymore because I've taken a drink. The thirst that was there is now gone. So the spirit that might be a part of us, if we push that away, if we don't do these things that were identified already above, then just like our thirst is removed. With the addition of water, the spiritual nature of mankind is removed if we don't keep our minds focused on God with doing these things that were already mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure this was turned on. Yeah, I think it's important, that it's a challenge to do everything that God wants for us to do. Now, we don't have 618 laws of the Old Testament to keep, but God wants us to walk a holy life and a good life, a life that helps others, strengthens others. And sometimes we don't do that always. And so we need to remember that this is what God wants for us. And of course, in verse 20, we would say, don't despise prophetic utterances. Of course, I think at this point in time, there was still the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, working miraculous gifts and such. Do not quench prophetic utterances, but how would that apply to us today? What is prophetic utterances do we have today? The Bible. So, if we don't despise what God is saying to us, I might not like it. We had a long time ago when I was, we went to a seminar with college students, and they were talking about things that you do that you shouldn't do, and trying to teach kids what it meant to be. And they said that sometimes they asked a question in a way to make people think about it. If there's some scripture that you didn't like, and could you cut it out of the Bible and then not have to follow that scripture anymore? Basically, I've known people that would basically take the book of James out of the Bible because they don't like what it says about works. I don't know if I've ever had anyone actually say that, well, I'm going to cut that out. But it was said that Martin Luther back in the 14th century said that he did not believe that James should be in the Bible because it contradicted some of the things that he thought about and taught. We need to take it all. And if it says something for us to do or to live, then we need to try and do that to our best of our ability.
That's what some new versions of the Bible do, is take things out.
They do sometimes, that's right.
Take these out or
soften them up in a way, right?
Yeah, but they basically cut it out when they change the wording and different things on some versions of.
The New Living Translation to me is one of the biggest offenders of that way. Some of the translations makes it real easy to, puts in a lot more understandable language, but some places they just completely change it to fit some of the doctrines that the people that wrote it think. And I think 21 is a good example along this way. Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Examine everything. And the word carefully here is in parentheses. That means that it was put there as a word that they felt fit in the context. But examine everything. We could just put it right there. And I think that's important. Jamie, do you have a thought? Just coughing, right? Okay. And we need to examine everything. Make sure, you know, I don't know, and I haven't said it for a while, but it's something that probably should be said from the pulpit for every now and then. Don't take it just because I say it, but take it and check it according to the Word of God. When I was a teenager, when I was a young man growing up, we had a preacher that he often said that. Don't take it just because I say it, but check it out in the Word of God. And that's, I think that's really, really important that we do that. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. If we're holding fast to everything that's good, does that help us to keep away from every form of evil? We'll hold fast to it. You know, don't let go. It helps us to stay away from those things that are evil. Any thoughts down through verse 22? Okay? 21, 23, I mean. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. I like this idea. Sanctify you entirely. Make you holy completely. Every part of you. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved. Complete. Without blame. I think about Jesus' command to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You know, the whole person God wants, not just part of us. There were those that were called Gnostics that thought that they should just follow what they thought was the spirit, that the body didn't matter. It didn't do what mattered what you did bodily, but just as long as your spirit was good. And it was a tough distinction that they tried to make there. But God wants us, wants all of us. Why? Why should we be preserved complete? Without blame, because what?
At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is coming again. And Paul had just written about that in chapter 4 and earlier in this chapter 2, that we want to be ready. I think all these things that he's talking about here, how we live, how we treat others, is so that we will be ready at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important that we do that. Very important that we do that. Faithful is he who calls you. He also will bring it to pass. Faithful is he. That he is capitalized here in this translation. Probably the reference here is talking, he just mentioned at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you. When Jesus comes again, who's going to call? Jesus. He comes with the call of the archangel, right? And the dead in Christ will rise first and so on. God calls us. He will bring it to pass. God is going to bring the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go back to the verse that he's just talked about. God is faithful. God will do what he says he's going to do. He is going to be what he says he's going to be. God is without sin. He's completely holy, completely sanctified, if you will. And that, therefore, God is calling us to be that same kind of person so that we can be right with him. Comments or thoughts on those verses?
The sentence arrangement in the New King James in verse 24 is quite a bit different because it has the he at the beginning of the sentence.
Would you read it, please?
It says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So the capitalization there in he is
at the beginning of the sentence?
Misunderstood, because it's at the beginning of the sentence, whether it's Jesus or just that this is a someone that has called someone to a faithful obedience to Christ. I believe what you said is accurate, but it's hard to interpret it as.
What's the last part of the verse say?
Yeah, I'll read the whole thing. Okay. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it.
It just says, and also, not a second he. This says, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. I don't know, I'd have to look at the Greek, and I haven't done that, to see if it's...
Well, if you kind of add 23 in there, it actually says there in the last, that body preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who calls you is faithful.
He revived.
So I put that together there, because who also will do it. So that's referring back to some of that other verse.
I think so too. I think it's very much tied to that. We would say the same thing if we've just talked about someone. We referring back to that person, we would say he, if that's, you know, or she. He said that. Well, who's he? It's the one we just talked about. Okay, let's finish this chapter up. And I just turned my phone off. Can you believe that? Okay, verse 25 to the end. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Paul often asks for the prayers of the Christians that he is working with, writing to. He says, I'm praying for you, but often he will say also, pray for us. We need your prayers too. And we all do. We all need prayers, and so that we can be strengthened and grow in Christ. You know, this verse 26, I think we greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I've often, and I don't know that I disagree with it, but that it's according to their customs of greeting, but fondly. We could easily say, fondly greet one another, right? And that would mean, of course, with a handshake. It could mean with a hug, way people that we might greet people that we're close to and love. And probably the holy kiss that they offered was, you know, probably cheek to cheek or something like that, that they would do. But I think it's important that we are willing and that are able to encourage one another in greetings, both hello and goodbye.
We should remember that Judas Iscariot gave the Lord an unholy kiss.
An unholy kiss.
And that was the designation that this is the one that needs to be crucified.
That's true.
And so maybe, you know, be sincere with the way you greet one another. Don't do it in some false manner like Judas Iscariot did.
That's true. Judas definitely, that's what he told them, you know, how will you know which one?
Yeah.
This is the one in whom I kiss.
Right.
And, of course, Paul, adjure, verse 27, does it say, translations, I adjure you, I command you,
charge
you, what?
Charge.
Charge. I charge you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. Now, Thessalonica was a city, but oftentimes there were other churches in the area that they were to pass these letters on to and to share them with others as well. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is a very common closing and greeting about the Lord Jesus Christ being with you. We're going to look at beginning of chapter 5, and we're going to see similar greetings as he closed this chapter with to them. And, you know, something I didn't look at that I just thought about here, I don't know how long a time span between this book and the next book. But he wrote a second book to the church as well, and we're going to see some reflection again from this letter to the early part of this second chapter, or the second book in chapter 1. Any questions or comments before we go on to chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians? Okay, let's do that. Go to chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians. Give me a second here. The first two verses, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To the church, it's from God, it's from Jesus. Grace to you and peace. Grace means that salvation, right? All the plan of that's what salvation. Grace means all of God's plan found in Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the peace that we're talking about here, they were starting to feel persecution, so it probably wasn't peace from that, it was peace in God. In your trials, in your temptations, in your walk of life, we can have peace in Christ. I think I mentioned it before that on Wednesday mornings, for an hour, I'm going to have a Zoom call with men and women that are interested in the work in Ukraine. And sometimes we have one or two or more of the brothers from Ukraine that will get on the call that are good with English. And we were talking today about peace. Not about peace, but about war. Soon it'll be 4 years. In February it'll be 4 years that war has been going on. And the people are, even when missiles and bombs are falling around them, and right now the one that we talked to was from Kiev, the capital, and they've had some bombs and missiles and stuff, strikes, but not like some of the other cities that's just devastating them. And he said that he talked about driving across Kiev, and it's a big city. About, I don't know, 4.5-5 million it was at one time anyway, before all this started to happen. And it was very traffic congested. And he was talking about driving across the city to help a different youth group work. He's a young man, he's probably 22 or 23. And I said, is the traffic still as heavy in Kiev as it used to be? He says, well, at rush hour time, he didn't say rush hour, but he said up to 9 o'clock, and then after from 3-4 o'clock on, he says it's really congested. If you drive during the day, middle of the day, then it's not so bad. But the point was that even in war, people are just going on like they have to go on with their life. But there's war all around them. As Christians, we have war all around us, spiritual war all around us. But we can find peace in Jesus Christ. We can find peace that passes all understanding, as Jesus talks about in John chapter 16. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace through the trials, through the struggles. And I think that's what he's talking about here. It's from God the Father, and again, twice he mentioned our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Well, Paul's practicing what he's preaching, right? I always give thanks for you. Remember he just talked about in everything give thanks to God? He says we're doing it, giving thanks to God for you, brethren, because it's the right thing to do. Now, remember one of the things that Paul encouraged them to do in 1 Thessalonians was that they were to, that he said, I love you, you do a good job with your faith, good job with your love, but do so more. He said that several times. Now look what he says here. Because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. So he's saying, I see the growth and change in you. I see your faith growing. I see your love growing towards one another and getting stronger every day. I would hope that we'd have maybe some of the preachers that have been here before that has come back again. We see the love growing in the church here. And your faith, and your faith is growing. Wow, you guys are doing so good. Someone that's been away for a while. Verse 4. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. Paul says, I'm proud of you. How much would that mean to you if the Apostle Paul said that to you? I'm proud of you for what you're doing and how you're doing it. That's God speaking, isn't it, through Paul? God is proud of them for how they were living their life and how they were growing and standing strong. I want God to be proud of us as we stand strong and be right before Him. And I don't think we need to not worry about how many churches, different kinds of churches, was there in the first century. There was one. One church all across all the world in which they've been teaching the gospel. And it's called what? It's called here, all the churches of God. Now, we might get upset about that because that's not said Church of Christ. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. This is God, the church that belongs to God, that belongs to Christ. Is Christ the Son of God? Is God in the flesh, right?
Yes.
So, we're talking about the same thing. The same body of Christ. For your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions. So you're persevering. You're keeping going when things get hard for you. We need to keep going when things get difficult. Sometimes it's easy to think that I want to, it's easy to quit, a lot easier to quit than it is to continue. But from your perseverance and faith in the midst of what? All your persecutions. Now, they have a lot more persecutions and afflictions than what we have. And it was going to get worse. If this was about in the early to mid-50s, which most people think that it was that this letters were written, that the persecutions were just ramping up, I guess you would say, at this point in time. When Nero took over and started persecuting the Christians about 60 AD, that's when things got really, really bad under the Roman Empire. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees and such were opposing them. There were strong persecutions that they had, but not like anything that they're going to have. He says, but you're staying faithful and strong in the Lord in all of these things that are happening to you. And remember what he's just commanded them on their faith and on their love. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, right? But the greatest of these is love. Well, this is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. Okay? Now he calls this the kingdom of God. What did Jesus tell them was going to happen? What's going to come? The kingdom of God is going to come. And that the church and the kingdom in Matthew chapter 18 was called the same, Matthew chapter 16, excuse me, is called the same thing. The church and kingdom are referred to as one and the same. So when the church came, the kingdom came. And so it's not a matter of names like we think about names today because of all the denominationalism. This is names that were just what referenced the church. What the early church was also was called what? The Way. And so it's all referenced to the same thing. It's not a matter of saying, oh, we're of the Way. Oh, we're of the Church of Christ. We're the Church of God. Oh, we're the Church of the Kingdom. Or whatever. It's all the same thing. All right. Go ahead, Dave.
In Matthew chapter 13, a lot of Jesus' parables started out, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God.
That's right.
That's exactly what he's referring to here in the prayer.
It is exactly that way.
But today, the names are good, but the problem is that the teaching is different.
Oh, it is, definitely. I don't disagree with you at all. The teachings are very different.
So if I'm traveling and I see those names, that ain't where I'm going to go.
I know.
I'm specifically looking for the Church of Christ.
Oh, I agree with you completely. That's right. But my point was is that then it was one and the same. Unfortunately, today it's not one and the same.
The name, I know what you're saying, but the name really has nothing to do with it. I mean, we can have Harrisburg Church out there on the sign and nothing else. It's about the way we worship and what we believe and what we teach. Because you can go to some churches of Christ and get in trouble.
That's true. And really, as far as the church is just called the church, there's about 110 times names are used in the New Testament. About 100 times of those, it's called just the church. The church in Galatia, the church in Thessalonica, and so on. And so what you're saying, and there was a Church of Christ in Des Moines, Iowa, many years ago, that they just called it the church. And very biblical as far as that was concerned. Some confusion sometimes, but it was a Church of Christ. Okay, now as we finish this up tonight, and if you want to mark, because I think that we'll mark, let's start in verse 5, because then it really leads into what's following after that. So let's start there next week. And we'll go from there. You know, Jesus Christ and God came. God sent Jesus Christ, and he came so that we could have the righteous relationship with God, so that we can have the kind of things and live in such a community in such a way that God taught us how to live, that he wants for us to live. We can have that same church, that same body of Christ, same Christians today as it was then. And that's what we want to share with people. We want to teach people. We want people to see what God's way is and the truth of his word, and following that word as best that we possibly can. And that's what we as God's church, the Lord's church we call it, the Church of Christ, that's what we strive to be and strive to do. So as you seek these things in your life, this is where we want to go, and let's go there. And as you have need, would you come to him as together we stand and sing.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, stretch them in pity from sin and the grave.
Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are smiting him, still he is waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with him earnestly, plead with him gently, he will forgive if they truly believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings like burden that grace can restore. Touched by a loving hand, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win him. Tell the poor wanderer the Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful,
Jesus will save.
It's been requested by some that we have a short men's meeting tonight. And if you want to meet back here in this room, that would be good after services are completed. Thanks.
Almighty God, our Creator and our Father, we're so blessed, Father, to have come together as a church of your people, of believers, to recognize, Father, that you are abundant with your mercy in our lives, that you've provided for us everything that we need to survive from day to day, and you've given us the greater gift, Father, of Jesus, your Son, the Lord in the flesh, who came and lived a perfect life here. He showed us the right way to live, and at the end, Father, of his work and his service, he completed it by becoming a sacrifice that restored our relationship with you, the relationship that we have forfeited in our own sinfulness. Father, we can honor you and Jesus, your Son, in a public way this evening, because you're gracious and you're merciful and you're willing to forgive us and you're willing, Father, to make that eternal home in heaven ours, an opportunity for us to spend eternity with you, the Almighty God. So we thank you, Father, as believers of those of faith, and we want, Father, for you to continue your patience and continue your blessings for us. Father, we're mindful of others of our number that are struggling in ways that maybe we aren't, that can't be with us because of health reasons or various wellness reasons. Father, we just ask that you would be merciful towards them. Help us, Father, to remember them, to encourage them, to know that you never forget. Father, we recognize also that this world is full of lost souls, that there's so many people out there that don't know the way of truth, that don't have a clear path, Father, towards heaven, and we want to be that light, a city that's set on a hill, Father, that people can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. You are God. Father, we are just so thankful for your mercy, your patience, for your forgiveness. And we ask, Father, that you would go with us as we depart this evening from our study. We pray that the things that we shared together from your word will dwell in our hearts and that we'll be more pleasing to you in the coming days than we have in the past. Father, just lift us up. Help us to be stronger, to be more Christ-like. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.